This show is supported by State Farm. You have insurance for your home, your health, and your car. Why don't you have insurance for your small business? So many small business owners think they don't need or don't even know about small business insurance. Protecting a source of revenue is one thing, but so is protecting all of your hard work and your team members. State Farm agents are all small business owners too, so they know how to help small business owners choose personalized policies that fit their budgets. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Talk to your local agent today.
Hi, I'm Alex L., and I write books for a living. The Hey Girl podcast was created with sisterhood and storytelling in mind. Hey Girl.
Hey Girl.
Hey Girl.
Hey Girl.
I'll be sitting down with some phenomenal women to discuss love.
I believe we grew distant out of love of some type, like, yeah. I don't want to hurt you.
Loss.
Really don't know what's going to trigger that feeling of right. grief in any moment.
And a topic very important to my work. Self-care.
Freedom is self-care. It's not about pedicures. It's not about clothing. It's not about trips.
Join us as we journey through sharing together. Today, I'm sitting down with Erin Boyle. She is the founder of readingmyTealeaves.com, a slow living mother of two, and a writer. I'm excited for you guys to hear this conversation. Here's Erin's story. Hey, girl.
Hey, girl.
Erin, thank you so much for joining me today.
I'm so glad to be here. Thanks for having me.
I'm very excited to have this conversation with you. But before we dive in, can you please introduce yourself to the Hey Girl listeners with who you are and what you do?
Sure. I am Erin Boyle, and I write a blog called Reading My Tea Leaves. And I also wrote a book a few years ago called Simple Matters. And I tend to write a lot about kind of things close to home and kind of simplicity broadly. But of course, that has lots of different definitions for different people. But yeah, I try to kind of write about living slowly and simply, sustainably, you know, and how all of that has hopefully some positive impact on ourselves and on the environment.
So I don't know how I discovered your blog, but when I did, I was like, this is just amazing. And I bought your book and I love it. So I want to know how you got started with slow living. Dare I say minimalistic living? Are you a minimalist or do you identify as one?
I think I do. I'm like so resistant to putting myself into like a box, which of course is totally counter to like the work I do, which is like constantly demanding us to put ourselves into boxes. I guess it kind of started, I don't know. I remember when I was living in my first apartment with my then boyfriend, now husband, and I was talking to my mom about furnishing it. And, you know, we had moved in. I had actually come from living abroad and he was in grad school, and there was, you know, I write about in my book, actually, like there was like no, like, you know, we had like a mattress and mm-hmm. that was all. Mm-hmm. And so we were slowly putting things together. And I had this conversation with my mom where she was saying, you know, in typical kind of mom style, someone the other day was just saying that young people these days, all they care about is just, you know, going to like big box store and buying everything up. And that's not you at all. And it kind of like dawned on me. I was like, yeah, it's like really, it's not me. Like, I'm really interested in building a life slowly. And mm-hmm. like during that period, especially James, my then boyfriend and now husband, and I would explore like tag sales and little antique shops and, mm-hmm. you know, flea markets and all of that stuff to try to like slowly build our life. And I realized I was kind of at this, you know, I was like 23. Mm-hmm. And I was starting to figure out like, okay, like what are my values? And like, how am I going to build a life? And it was kind of like a literal building of a home mm-hmm. got me started thinking about, yeah, like what are the impacts of my purchases? What are the choices that I'm going to make now that are actually going to like stick with me through growing up? And it kind of started then.
Fast forward to now, right? You're in Brooklyn. Yeah. You have two small children. You have a husband. Things are definitely blooming, right? With career and home and everything in between. How have you kept that harmony between, especially with children? I know that you've touched on this quite a bit when people ask, how do you live slowly and mindfully with young ones, right?
You know, I actually think that the like harmony really comes from like maintaining that lifestyle kind of as like a constant, like, okay, we're going to like have a baby and not that much really has to change. We have such a cultural narrative of like kids come and then it's crazy.
Yeah.
Like, be prepared for like the onslaught of like, you know, in terms of like purchasing stuff. And like, there's so much, especially like in the United States, like I can't speak for, you know, other cultures. And certainly this all depends on socioeconomic status and all of that. But
right,
in my like particular, I don't know, cohort or whatever you want to call it, like there's such pressure. There's such this expectation that things are going to get chaotic. Mm-hmm. You're going to get overwhelmed and you better hold on for like the influx. And I don't think it has to be that way. And I'm pretty like organized person, a pretty like exacting person, but like I'm not like neurotic, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I like really wanted to fight against that idea that parenthood would have to mean that I become neurotic, or like that I had to worry about all this stuff, or that I had to buy all this stuff. And I don't know, for me that's been like really centering. It's been really nice to know, like, you know what, I guess things get crazy. And of course, you come into my house at like 5 o'clock in the afternoon, you're going to see two kids climbing all over each other. There's going to be like, you know, apple remains across the carpet. Like there's going to be all that kind of stuff. Like, of course, life with small kids is busy and chaotic, whatever. I honestly don't think it has to be overwhelming. I'm just kind of like sticking to my guns on that stuff. I don't know. It's gotten me through it.
I like that you said that it doesn't have to be overwhelming and chaotic, because I find I'm having my third baby. So,
yes, I know. Congratulations.
Thank you. So I'm excited because, number one, we're having another girl. So we have all this stuff from Isla that we don't have to, you know, buy again. So that was one thing I was like, thank goodness. Like, we can just reuse what we have. But also not feeling pressure to like having to start over again, like a new a new this or a new that. And, oh, we didn't have that with Isla, so we need that with this one. So I like how you said that it doesn't have to be this huge, daunting thing of collecting stuff.
Right. Yeah, totally. And, you know, it's interesting that you say that, too. I mean, I often use the phrase opt out. I just like think that like having the power to be like, listen, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to get a crib and three pop-up cribs and all this like accompanying gear, or whether it's like gear, or whether it's trying to like get into like particular school programs, or trying, like, there's so much, especially in New York City.
Yeah.
Oh my God. There's just so much conversation about what you need, what you need to do, and what's hard and what isn't. You know what? I'm not going to let this stuff get to me. Like, I'm just not going to participate, which doesn't mean like that makes me sound like a recluse or something. Like, you could like be a part of society without necessarily like adhering to all of the kind of cultural narrative of like what you need or the expectations. I mean, even to the point of, you know, I have Faye is my oldest is four, almost five, and my youngest is two. And like, Faye is a girl and Silas is a boy, and like he wears Faye's hand-me-downs. You know what I mean? Like, even to that point, like and you know, of course, like we're in a lucky position, a quirky position of like work and family collide. And you know, there are some things, whatever, that are like new for Silas, work kind of related. We've really been able to keep things simple. We don't need the newest thing. And like, you know, I did things even like, maybe this is like, I'm like blabbering on, but when Silas was born, I was like, you know what, we had no kind of like baby rocker jumper mover thingy when Faye was born. Like literally she like put her on the floor and put her in like a basket and then eventually we got a crib. So like, you know, we were like slow moving. But when Silas was born, I was like, okay, I have a 2.5-year-old also, like maybe something would be helpful, like not to be carrying a baby all the time. So like I borrowed them from a friend. There's all of that kind of like, I don't know what. To me, this is all like very, it's freeing. It feels like, oh, like once you decide that I can opt out of whatever rat race it is, whether it's a particular career path or a particular education path or whatever, like there's so much freedom. Like you can do what you want.
Yeah. Yeah. Without having all this excess baggage weighing you down, you know? And
I find, totally.
Especially when it comes with having a family and having children, it's like, buy this new thing and then, you know, and post it on social media, and who can be the most like stylish mom social media family on Instagram? And it's weird. It's so strange.
This show is supported by State Farm. Insurance is a part of any solid financial plan. Making sure you have the important things in life covered is one of the best ways to give yourself a little breathing room when things go awry. It's important to protect not only your business, but yourself as a business owner and all current and future team members. State Farm agents know what it takes to run and protect a small business because State Farm agents are all small business owners and they live and work in your community. So they're deeply attuned to what's happening with other small businesses in your market. If you have a small business and are interested in making sure you're protected, reach out to your local State Farm agent to learn more about what you need. They'll help you find the right policy at the right price for your business. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Talk to your local agent today.
I recently started wearing a new bra by Third Love, and I absolutely adore it. Did you know that breast shape matters when you're finding a good fit? I didn't. Third Love uses data points generated by millions of women who have taken their Fit Finder quiz to design bras with breast size and shape in mind for a perfect fit and premium feel. I found the Fit Finder quiz really helpful when I was picking out my Third Love bra. I didn't know I was wearing the wrong size for so long. I think what's really awesome about this is that over 12 million women have taken the quiz to date, and it's actually a pretty fun experience. I answered a few simple questions, and I found my perfect fit in about 60 seconds. Third Love offers more than 70 sizes, which is more sizes than most other brands, including their signature half cup sizes. Not only that, but Third Love is convenient. You can skip the trip to the mall, find your fit with their online fit finder, order, try it on at home. No more awkward fitting room experiences. What really sold me on Third Love was the 100% fit guarantee. Every customer has 60 days to wear it, wash it, and put it to the test. And if you don't love it, you can return it. And Third Love will wash it and donate it to a woman in need. Third Love's team of expert fit stylists are dedicated to helping you find your perfect fit. Fit stylists are available every day to help via text, chat, or phone. Returns and exchanges are free and easy. What's not to love? Third Love knows there's a perfect bra for everyone. So right now, they're offering Hey Girl listeners 15% off of your first order. Go to thirdlove.com/heygirl to find your perfect fitting bra and get 15% off your first purchase. That's thirdlove.com/heygirl for 15% off today.
How you navigate your social media and how you stay true and authentic to your brand, because I know, you know, companies probably reach out to you a lot for partnerships and like opting out, right, on the things that don't serve your way of living. And then also staying authentic and really celebrating community and motherhood and sisterhood even in your digital space.
First of all, one thing since like becoming a parent and specifically becoming a mother, there's this expectation or again, like this narrative that like motherhood is all encompassing and that it's a universal experience. And for me, that just feels we do ourselves a disservice. Like, sure, there are things that unite mothers, unite women, unite whatever in so many ways, but that also like erases so many experiences. I found when I first went on like maternity leave, I had maternity leave with Faye because I had like a full-time position at a job. And I went on maternity leave. And then during my maternity leave, I basically, James and I ran the numbers for our family. And essentially, you know, we basically each made the same amount of money and neither one of us could stop working. And we couldn't afford childcare. Oh, that's interesting. What will we do? And so I was in a position where I was able to kind of like build my own, like I knew that I would be able to leave my job and potentially, hopefully, and seriously winging it, make my own career, run my own business. And so it was a little bit shaky there at first, but like we were able to make that happen. At this stage, like by now, I'm like the primary income earner for our family. That's really great in so many ways, but it's like nice to find like a community of people who are similar to you, and like because that affects my experience. Like that affects my experience of motherhood. It affects my experience of social media. You know, like I am not a stay-at-home mom. I'm also not a mom who works 60 hours a week at a law firm. You know, like there's like a middle ground. And so, you know, for me, finding people to talk to about my particular like quirky experience of being a business owner and also being like flexible in my time has been really important. So I have a friend who I think you might know, LaTanya. Is that, you know, she and I, we both live in New York. We have similar kind of work. There are a lot, you know, there are differences certainly in our situations and our work, but there's so many intersections. I talk about saying, like, I can like call her up and be like, okay, this is this thing that's driving me crazy on social media. Like, how are you handling this? How can I handle this? Like, what, you know, just from anything, like we can, there's so much like common ground. And so that has been like crucial for me, like finding someone in this space who's both my like real life friend and my like online friend has been like really, that's like so supportive. Like I find I would not be able to navigate social media in the way that I do without friendships like that. So that's one thing. And then I guess in terms of like, oh gosh, the stuff and the feedback and you know, it is complicated. It is really hard. Like I'm not going to lie there. I am very much aware that there are elements of my life and some like quality of life stuff that I enjoy that I would not be able to without my job. And sometimes I can get myself into a spiral in part because I get feedback from other people about this, where it's, well, you say that you're all about simplicity, but I see that you're doing this fancy thing or whatever it is. And, you know, like I can get myself into a position where I feel like, oh no, like I am doing the wrong thing. Like I did mess up. But then also like there's just such this exposure that other people like don't have. Like you know, before I started blogging full time, I worked first at a nonprofit and then another media company. But at the nonprofit, like it's so easy to be like, I am doing such great work and it's so like clean and perfect and there's no like this money is so like, you know, holy or whatever. It's like, well, come on now. Like the people who founded the nonprofit, they got their money by like exploiting natural resources. You know what I mean? Like there's all of this kind of stuff. Like there's no such thing as clean money. Like there's no such thing as a perfect choice. And I like run into this. So I actually recently wrote a post that was called Reconsidering Gold Stars. And I'm someone who like chases gold stars, you know, like I want to know like, yeah, girl, I got 100 on that test. You know what I mean? Like, I want to know that, like, I did everything right. And I realized that, like, it's impossible. There is no, like, I mean, you know, people all of a sudden say, like, there's no ethical consumption under capitalism. Like, sure, like, I agree. Like, it's all really complicated. And it's all more complicated than it appears, like, at face value. And, like, I think we all have to make choices for our families and for our careers that, like, sit well with us on a gut level. But, like, also, everything can be critiqued. Like, everything can be teased apart, and like, you're going to find something that's like not so savory. But I think a lot of it comes down to, frankly, I think like misogyny, you know, like people are uncomfortable with women earning an income in the public eye.
And untraditionally, too, I find.
And totally. There's something like sometimes it feels like there are folks, and of course, like, it's a few negative comments that kind of, like, ring loudest. So you have to, like, I mean, I survive mostly by being like, okay, squeaky wheel, like, I'm not going to give you any grace. You know what I mean? There's this idea that somehow you're, like, pulling one over or, like, pulling the wool over someone's eyes or, like, you know, like, getting away with something because it's not, like I said, because I'm neither, like, a stay-at-home parent nor am I working 60-hour work week out of the home. Like there's this like weird gray area, and I think people fundamentally don't understand it and they're curious. And then I think, you know, so there's that. And then I think some people are just like skeptical, which is fine. I mean, my guiding like principle is always to be like as transparent as is possible while also maintaining like a sense of privacy. And like I said, you know, like I run a business and I have to make decisions all the time. Like I actually just said no to a campaign after like going kind of far down the road of saying yes, because it was just like, okay, on a gut level, this is not feeling right for me. And like, frankly, it means like, you know, like it affects my like bottom line. Like it's like not good.
Yeah.
But, you know, you feel like there are things like I feel like I have to like make a kind of like moral call on.
Yeah. And I think that's really important, especially as you're navigating building a brand, having a business, doing brand partnerships, so on and so forth, writing books, you know, who are you going to go with for the publisher? Who's really going to represent you? There's so many different avenues of sustainability. Really, it comes down to that.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Do you love discovering new products? Are you a beauty and fashion maven constantly on the hunt for the next best thing? Ever read about or spot something online that you've always wanted to try but never have? Then you might love FabFitFun. It allows women everywhere to discover new products, as well as including rave review and must-have brands that you know and love. It's like Christmas four times a year. Stumped on gift ideas? FabFitFun is also a great gift for someone you love. You can surprise your mom or sister with this awesome summer box packed with great items. Do you have a daughter who's going to college, maybe? Or a friend who's a new mom? FabFitFun is an awesome care package. My last box came with this beautiful lotus towel. It was blue, and it's shaped like the flower, and it has a gorgeous design in the middle. That's something we've been laying out on the deck and relaxing on for a few weeks now. So what I love about FabFitFun is that they offer full-size products, no samples of anything. Every box is guaranteed to have over $200+ in retail value. The summer 2019 box has a total retail value between $269 to $467. That's fantastic. Treat yourself with items in it, such as the Sutra Professional Mini Travel Blow Dryer, the beautiful Vicks Paula Lotus Towel, or the West Elm Indigo tie-dye bowls. Many of the products' individual value is more than the entire cost of the box. You can customize your box by choosing some products and some add-ons with each one. Or you can be surprised. It's great for discovering new brands and new products. What a better way to shop. I'm looking forward to my next box because they're always so different and packed with things I can actually use. I like to share the items in my box with my 11-year-old. She's really into skincare these days. We recently got a clay mask and a foot mask and a body scrub. She loves them all. The FabFitFun 2019 summer box is on sale now. So sign up for FabFitFun today. These boxes always sell out. You can use my code HEYGIRL to get $10 off your first box. All you have to do is go to FabFitFun to sign up and get started. Use promo code HEYGIRL to get $10 off your first box. That's over $200 for only $39.99. Go to FabFitFun.com and use my code HEYGIRL to get $10 off your first FabFitFun box. Let's talk about sustainability for a minute and why it's so important to you to live a lifestyle of sustainability and how that links back to your self-care practices.
Ooh, okay. Yeah. oh, God. Or my lack of self-care sometimes.
It's okay.
I mean, I think for me, like, again, it's kind of like a gut level thing. Like, I grew up with, like, two parents who were, like, pretty vocal about like environmentalism. And so I kind of like just had this like, again, like, I don't know, I was just like very aware of that stuff growing up. And like, you know, we live in like a not great moment, you know, like the state of the planet is not good. And we like all need to be like thinking about that. And it's like terrifying, frankly. So I think a lot about it just from like perspective of the health of our planet. But also, you know, it like, again, like it's interesting for me when I got to a point, I think, where I started like having like a larger social media following and having seeing that people like went, it was not my intention at first, but it's also like a way that this work is like financed essentially through like companies and partnerships. It like I decided like, you know what, if I'm going to be writing about anything, I want to make sure it's like things that are like doing good, you know? So like that for me was just like, again, it was kind of like a gut level. I was like, you know what, like I'm just not going to take on partnerships with people who like I don't think are good for the planet. Or, you know, like increasingly, like it's interesting, you know, we talk about sustainability. I particularly talk about sustainability so much in terms of like the environment and the planet, but there's also like sustainability in terms of like financial freedom and like, you know, like I've talked about publicly before, you know, like when Faye was born, like my husband and I like basically like couldn't afford to have kids on our like salaries, you know? And
childcare is expensive anyway. So it's like,
childcare is crazy.
Yeah.
Childcare is crazy. And of course you need it to grow a business. Like that's the other part. Talk about like sustainability. Like I couldn't do what I do without childcare in a big time way. And that also gets glossed over and lost in translation sometimes on social media. I'm not here with my kids on my lap writing my blog, not by a long shot, you know? But yeah, like in terms of like financial stability too, like I actually did a big partnership with a credit card company this year, which was a big deal for me. It was a much bigger contract than I've had before. And it was like the first time I was really, instead of partnering with a small business, it was a significant corporation. I was hesitant about it at first, but then at the end of the day, I was like, you know what? It's actually about the sustainability of my business. Not only the like money that I received for the campaign, but also like, I need to like ramp things up around here. Like I need to like professionalize. Like I need a business credit card for one thing, let alone all the other business expenses, you know? So for like I think that's all part of sustainability and frankly self-care too. Like being able to have like the peace of mind to not like struggle and like saying like it's okay to like be working hard and like making money
and making the decisions that you need for your business, your family, and your overall well-being. I think that that's what can be really difficult, especially in entrepreneurship where we find, you know, like what to say yes to, what to say no to, and then what are the things that we're going to just push to the side until we're ready to address them business-wise or or what we can afford to push to the side. You know, so it's like saying yes, opting out, as you mentioned, and then being like, okay, well, what can wait? And I think I don't think folks understand how difficult it is in entrepreneurship, especially when you're a solo show, because you're making all of the decisions and you have to, you're hoping that you're making the right decision because you really never know what that right decision is, right? So, I mean.
And it also, like, there's just so much behind the scenes work.
Right.
I mean, that's, like, the tricky, weird thing about
it. It's work.
Like,
it is work.
So much work.
And not even and like, just work, like running your website, you know, updating things, you're writing books, you're doing this and that. It's not just this pretty Instagram feed or that pretty image that you saw that, you know, we took 50 shots and like that was the most, you know what I mean? Like it's a lot. It's a lot. So,
you know, and it's also like, It all is like very interesting to me. And like, and then like navigating expectations and stuff is hard. Because like I said, I don't know. It's probably because I was raised Catholic. Like, I'm hard on myself, you know? Like, I really want to be making, like, the most upstanding decision possible. And, like, that, you know, so then it's, like, hard to get feedback. It's hard to get critical feedback, you know? Like, I think it's hard for anyone, but I am particularly, I can be particularly sensitive, I think, because I have tried so hard to make so many right decisions here. And, like, I think it's difficult, too, to, like, put yourself in a position where you're saying like, hey, I'm making these decisions from a point of view that is either moral or ethical or whatever. Like as soon as you say that, you're kind of put on this pedestal that is just so easy to be knocked down from.
Right.
And that's where the gold star stuff comes in a bit. Take any decision that any one of us makes, you can find a counter to it. Like you can find a reason that that was not the best decision. That I find is like a difficult aspect of my like public persona. Like I wake up a lot to like emails that say, like, I noticed you did this thing, and I don't think that was the right thing. It doesn't align with your values. I'm like, oh, my God. Yeah. How do you even know what my values are? You know, like, there is this kind of, like, protective, you know, like, element. Like, I definitely can feel defensive sometimes. And, like, talk about, like, even saying this is, like, such a faux pas. Like, I shouldn't – I feel like it's this unspoken word that, especially working in, like, social media – you have a good thing going and you better not complain about it, you know, like, and like the truth is it's sometimes hard and it's also super rewarding, but it's sometimes really hard and it's hard for me to be like a public persona for sure.
So to wrap up our conversation, I definitely want to touch on your self-care. You know, you mentioned your lack thereof or your struggling self-care. So I won't put you on the spot and ask you what your self-care is, but I do want to maybe ask what your top three self-care intentions are as you move through the rest of the year.
Well, I mean, I should say that, like, and this again, like, talk about something that, like, can be taboo. Last year I started going to see a therapist to kind of talk about some of, like, hazards of the trade. Like, and it was like, I mean, like, such a better place about it. And I also, you know, I don't go very often, but, like, being able to, like, touch base and be like, listen, like, I've got a lot of like heavy feelings about this. Oh, and like just having those conversations has been amazing. So that's been a huge shift in my personal self-care that I talked about it very briefly, but don't really talk about it that regularly. And I'd say that that's been huge for me. I'm frugal and I am also like kind of anxious about money. And so it was like, oh my God, going to a therapist seemed like something that really rich people do. And like for me, it's been incredibly rewarding and helpful for me in navigating, especially the kind of like social side of the work. I would also say, like, I have to say, like, in terms of self-care that I think I'm actually pretty good at, I've gotten like really good at having like a calm nighttime ritual, which is sometimes I'm like, oh my God, this is to the detriment of my like work. But I used to for like years, especially when I was like on staff at another media company, like I would just stay up so late at night working. I mean, and then, you know, when I had like babies, like, oh my God, you know, they're like, okay, now they're asleep and I, you know, I'm gonna work at night. And like, that is just brutal for me. Like I am not a night owl and I don't like working at night, but it felt like it was necessary. And like in the past few years, 2 years probably, I've just kind of decided like, no, nothing is like worth my like anxiety being like spiked at nighttime by trying to like finish something. And so like I've actually even recently like I've made a shift to like I'm often like publishing my blog post in the afternoon instead of like first thing in the morning, just because I have like a fresh mind and I can like look at it again in the morning, take care and time and whatever. And for a long time I was really doing a much more like I work all night and all day, you know, like really just like
that's not
never
sustainable.
No, that's like, I'd say that's a good, that's like real self-care.
Yes.
And I'm often doing a face mask, which is like such a cliche with self-care, but like all of that stuff, like I actually do find it's really helpful, like in the evenings, especially for me to just focus on myself.
That matters. That matters a lot.
Yeah.
As moms and as businesswomen, we need all the things that can help us fill up so that we can in turn, you know, fill up for our families and our work and all of that. The Hey Girl podcast is a member of The District Productive, produced by Paul Woody Woodhall and me, Alex L. Music by DC's own Kokai.
Thanks to State Farm for supporting this show and helping our listeners protect their businesses and lives. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Talk to your local agent today.